You turn, please, in the living word of God to the Gospel of John and chapter 14, John's Gospel and the chapter 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14. And may the Lord bless his word as it is publicly read. We'll commence at verse 1. Jesus Christ is speaking to his disciples and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me." May the Lord bless his word. Let's come to the Lord in a word of prayer. As your heads are bowed, if you've not yet prayed and asked the Lord to speak to you this evening, could I encourage you to do so even now? Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank thee that it is thy will that thy word does not go forth merely in letter, but in power. I pray, Father, now thy words would please to give me all the help that I need. As we saw this morning, we are sheep completely dependent upon thee. Come, give the help that's needed. Glorify thy beloved Son. Lift him up on high. And Father, the salvation that he freely offers to every single one. Help us to see it. We who are saved, help us to rejoice in it. And all of his love for us, help us to love him all the more. And Father, any that are not saved tonight, may they see, Lord, what Christ offers to them. And Father, may they flee their sin and flee to Christ before it's too late. In Jesus' name we ask all these things, looking for thee to answer prayer. Amen. Amen. Have you ever had one of those moments? You were not expecting it to come along, but yet after it came, and after it passed, your life was never the same. It could have been something you heard, could have been something you seen, could even have been someone you met. But afterwards, you were never the same. A number of years ago, whenever I was at university, I was handing out some gospel tracts with some friends in Belfast, and a young man came up to me. And he asked me what I was handing out, and I told him it was some gospel literature. And we entered into a conversation. Not long into it, the man turned around and said to me that he was an atheist. He didn't believe that there was such a thing as a God. And I turned and told him, of course, that I was a Christian. I simply told him my testimony, that while I was brought up in a Christian home, and while I was taught things about the Lord, and taught things regarding his precious word, yet the Lord spoke to me through his precious word. Not in an audible way, but he spoke to me. He convinced me that I was a sinner and that Jesus Christ loved me and he died for me. And I knew for a fact, and I do know even today, that there is a God. Not merely by what I can see in creation, not merely by my conscience, but by God's precious word and the Holy Spirit been witness with my heart. I encouraged him to read God's word. I spoke to him regarding the gospel. And in the midst of the conversation, he turned and asked me a question. He said, "Paul, you talked about heaven. Tell me, what is heaven like?" If someone asked you that question, what would you say? Someone asked you, "What is heaven like?" I wonder how you would respond. Well, I was taken aback. I didn't really know what to say. I knew I was going to heaven. I knew that heaven is real. But I didn't actually know what to say. What is heaven? What is heaven like? What will people even do whenever they are in heaven? I was able to tell him the little I did know. And the conversation continued on. But whenever I went home that evening, the Lord laid it upon my heart to do a study on the subject of heaven. And ever since that conversation with that young man and that question that he asked me about heaven, and my going home and studying, my life has never been the same. Studying the subject of heaven has thrilled my heart. It's challenged me. To see that this life is so very short before eternity comes, but it's comforted me. Because even in times of trial and difficulty, it'll all come to an end. One day we who are saved will go to be with the Lord. be with him forever. This evening I want to look at the subject of heaven, and I want to ask a very simple question to every one of you, and that is, do you want to go? Do you want to go to heaven? For some people it may be a very straightforward answer. Of course I do. But for other people, while they may think it may be straightforward, yet it may not be, as we see what heaven actually is. So let us look at the subject of heaven. First of all, I want us to ask the question, what is heaven? And then I want to answer it. What is heaven? Well, let me tell you two things to begin with. Heaven, first of all, is a physical place. It is a real place. Right back in the very first verse in Scripture, Genesis 1, verse 1, we read, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The word there in Hebrew, heaven, can also be translated as heavens. And throughout Scripture we see that there is more than one heaven. There's the first heaven, that's the sky where the birds fly. Then you have the second heaven, that's the universe where all the billions of stars and planets are. And then beyond that you have the third heaven. The third heaven. And just as God created from nothing to something, a physical earth, from nothing to something, the first heaven, a physical place, a real place, and the second heaven, a real place, a physical place. So the Lord created a third heaven, from nothing to something, a real place. A real place. That truth that heaven is a real place, speaking of the third heaven, is not just seen in Genesis 1 verse 1, but it's seen throughout Scripture. In John chapter 14 verse 3, what we read earlier on, Jesus Christ turned around and said to his disciples, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. Some people think that heaven is just a psychological subconsciousness, just like a dream, like state. But Jesus Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You can also look at the end of Luke's Gospel, or the beginning of Acts, and there we read Jesus Christ, after he paid the debt for our sins on the cross, after he rose again from the dead, he, in a glorified physical body, left the physical earth and ascended into, those are the words that Jesus, into heaven. Heaven is a real place. Many other references could be given. We read about Enoch, how he walked with God, and then he was not, for God took him. Took him where? Took him to heaven. Read about Elijah. It came to pass, we read, that as Elijah and Elisha, they went on and they talked, but behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horse of fire, and parting both asunder, and Elijah went up by whirlwind into heaven. Into heaven. It's a real place. In Acts chapter 7, we read that Stephen saw the Lord Jesus Christ standing in heaven. Heaven is not a mere dreamlike state. It's not a mere notion of the mind. It's a real place. Notice that heaven is not merely a real place, but it is a special place. Because it is characterized by the presence of God. Now, in case I go out, I stand at the door and someone turns around and says to me, look, hold on a minute. What were you being taught in that college? There's God's presence not everywhere. And that's true, God's presence is everywhere. But yet we read in a very special way, God's presence is revealed in heaven. For example, you think about the Lord's Prayer. What does Jesus Christ teach us to pray? Our Father which art in heaven. He's in heaven in a greater way than what he is here. In a sense, his presence is revealed there in a greater way. In 2 Chronicles 6, verse 21, Solomon praised the Lord and says, hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven. And the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8, that he was willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And so why the Lord's presence is everywhere, and the Lord's presence is here this evening in a very real and full way. Yet in heaven the Lord's presence is revealed in a greater way. And so just by looking at those two things, that heaven is a real place and it is a special place characterized by the presence of God, let me ask you, do you want to go there? Do you want to go there? Karl Marx, a famous atheist, said that religion is the opiate of the masses. He basically turned around and said that heaven is a story that's told to those who are pure, those who are struggling, just to encourage them to keep on going in life. He said heaven wasn't real. Man, woman, heaven is real. And I want to ask you this evening, do you want to go there? Do you want to go to that place that is characterized by the presence of the Lord? Do you want to go to be with the one who designed you and created you? Or the one who loved you? Do you want to go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross for us? Do you want to go to be with the one who rose from the dead and ever lives to pray for us? Do you want to go to be with the one whose thoughts toward us are innumerable? There's so many that can't even be counted. Whose eyes are upon us. Whose ears are open unto your cry. The times when we fell and stumbled, he picked us up. The times when we were weak, he carried us. He was our strength. Do you want to go to heaven? Be in the presence of the Lord and to see Jesus Christ there face to face. The one who loved us and gave everything for us. Do you want to go to heaven? You see, that question, do you want to go to heaven, is simply, do you want to go to be with Christ? Do you want to go to be with him? One other thing I want us to know about what heaven is, and that is, not merely is it a real place, a special place, but heaven, you may be surprised at this, some anyway, heaven is a temporary place. If you turn to me, please, to the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation, chapter 21. As you're turning to it, let me read to you a verse from Psalm 102. There the psalmist speaks to the Lord and says, "Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid a foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall all wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed." In Revelation 21, we read in verse 1, the Apostle John is speaking. He says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away." Now, those who die in Jesus Christ, having their faith and trust in him, they go to be with the Lord. Their body goes into the grave. Their soul goes to be with the Lord. As Jesus Christ said to the thief on the cross, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." The Bible tells us one day that Jesus Christ will return with all of his people. There will be a judgment, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness forever. And the Lord will dwell with his people forever. See, heaven is only temporary. But as we think even about the new heaven and new earth, let me ask you, who here this evening likes things that are new? Whether it be a new suit, be nice and fresh and clean, or a new dress, or a new car. Who, whenever they begin to start school, whether you can remember back to that, or if you're even at the age of going to school, how many people love to get a new school bag, or get a new stationery, or a new pencil case? I always look forward to that. We love things that are new. We love things that are fresh. We love things that are clean. Who here would not love a new house, new cutlery, new furniture? We love things that are not spoiled. We love things that are not polluted. And yet we are told that one day the Lord will make a new heaven and a new earth. The things of this earth will pass away. The word new refers to that which is revived, that which is refurbished, that which is refreshed. And while this current earth is filled with weeds and thorns and rubbish tips and litter and rubbish yards, one day all these works of the earth will all be burned up. And the Lord will make a new heaven and a new earth. No more weeds, no more thorns, no more litter, no more ugly concrete buildings, no more smoke, no more pollution, no more money, no more credit cards, no more barrenness, no more desert, no more cloudy skies. But that which is perfect, that which is clean, that which is pure. No more dead flowers, but beautiful flowers, vibrant flowers, colorful flowers, fragrant flowers. That which is perfect, that which is pure. Can I ask you this evening, do you want to go to such a place? Do you want to be with the Lord forever in a new heaven and a new earth? We've seen what heaven is, a real, special, but yet a temporary place. Let us note secondly then, what is heaven like? What is heaven like? Knowing that heaven is characterized by the presence of the Lord, we get a glimpse of what heaven is like. We read that heaven will be pure. Heaven will be pure, and heaven is pure. You see, heaven is a place that is absent from sin. We read in scriptures that the Lord is holy, holy, holy. We read of Jesus Christ himself, that he is separate from sinners, holy, harmless, and undefiled. That makes heaven a lot different to this current earth. Because of Adam's rebellion against the Lord in the Garden of Eden, this earth has been cursed by the Lord. And we who have sinned in Adam, we are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. This planet is filled with sin. It's littered with it. You think about the jealousy and the selfishness among people, even among our own hearts. Oh, I want this and I want that. And you think about the deceit and the confusion where some people would love to tell a lie, even if it hurts other people. Whenever they could tell the truth and enlighten. You think about the theft there is, the discontentment. You think about the lust and the perversion. You think about the murder and the hatred. You think about the bitterness. You think about the disrespect. You think about the dishonoring of those in authority. You think about how on this earth the Lord is not exalted. The Lord is not praised. Jesus Christ is not known in fullness. Jesus Christ, he is not sought after. He is not loved. He is not enjoyed. He is not put first. Instead, his name is blasphemed so often. His name is cursed. He is mocked and slandered. You see, while heaven will be a place where sin is absent, it'll be a place where holiness is present. Heaven is a place where God is loved. Heaven is a place where God is known in a far greater way. Heaven is a place where the Lord's name is magnified and he is praised. It's a place where the Father, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit are exalted. Men and women and young people this evening, heaven is not a place of hatred, immorality, discontentment, confusion, or greed. It is a place of genuine love for all, a place of complete purity, of infinite satisfaction, a place of truth, a place of gentleness and of kindness. It's not a place of selfishness, where people are always seeking their own ambition and their own advancement. No, it's a place of selflessness. You see, heaven is all about the Lord. Yes, his presence fills it. But heaven is all about the Lord. It's a place where you will praise him and honor him and love him and exalt him and enjoy him. And I think this is a marvelous thought and a marvelous truth. But whenever we are saved, whenever we trust in Jesus Christ, whenever we die, whenever we go to be with the Lord, our souls are made perfect. And if the Lord was to look at our souls and look at even every single aspect of it, he would not see one single taint of sin. Not a single taint of selfishness, but a soul wholly in love for the Lord. Tell me, do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to have your soul purified? We will love Christ and love the Father and love God the Holy Spirit and you will exalt him and praise him. Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to be made perfect? If so, there's only one way to heaven. Jesus Christ said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ said at the very beginning of his ministry, he said, repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, turn from your sin. Confess your sin, turn from it. And believe the wonderful news that Jesus Christ has paid the debt for our sin on the cross. He's done all that's necessary. Well, the way to heaven is simple. Repent and believe the gospel. Can I ask this evening, do you want heaven? Do you want heaven so much? Do you want to be with Christ so much? Do you want to be purified so much that you will leave your sin and you will love Christ now? Heaven is pure. Well, we're also told other things in Scripture about what heaven is like. Heaven will be joyful. You see, in Psalm 16, verse 11, we read regarding the Lord's presence, and in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Jesus Christ said to that thief on the cross, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. In Revelation 14, verse 13, the Apostle John says, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed or indeed happy are the dead which die in the Lord, because they're with the Lord. Heaven is a place of joy. It's a place of delight. It's a place of happiness. It's a place of satisfaction. No discontentment there. No, on occasion you and I can experience in a very special way God's presence on this earth. Maybe it isn't singing God's praise. Maybe it is in that quiet place. Maybe it is as we read God's word and we get a glimpse of Christ by faith and we know God's presence and we see him and we're filled with a joy and a satisfaction in Christ. Well, how much more whenever we're in his immediate presence? Oh, it'll be a place of joy. Heaven is not only joyful, but heaven is sociable. Heaven is sociable. Let me explain that in two ways. Or from two places. In Luke chapter 16, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about a rich man who died, and also a poor man called Lazarus who died. We read that rich man, whenever he died, not being saved, he lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torments. But did you ever ask yourself, what did that rich man remember? He remembered those whom he knew. He remembered Lazarus, because whenever he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, he said, "Oh, Abraham, send Lazarus. Let me dip his finger in a bit of water and put it upon my tongue and kill it." We remembered Lazarus. He also remembered that he had five brothers, and he knew their personality as you look through the record of Luke 16. He remembered those whom he knew in this earth. Even after he had passed and died. But yet not merely will you and I who are saved know those whom we currently know. The Bible makes it clear that we will also know those whom we have never met before. Again, Luke 16, we read of the rich man, he saw Abraham and he knew Abraham. He said, "Abraham, Father Abraham." Abraham lived many, many centuries before this rich man. But yet he knew him. Oh yes, he is in hell, but he remembers the things of this life and the people whom he met and knew, and even others whom he didn't know. But what about those in heaven? Well, if you turn to me, please, to Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17. I just want to show you one of the glories and wonders of heaven. Matthew chapter 17. In this passage, we have the Lord Jesus Christ. He has gathered three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. He takes them up into a high mountain apart from the rest of the disciples. Read in verse 2 of Matthew 17 that Jesus Christ was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Jesus Christ gave those three disciples a glimpse of his glory, a glimpse of his majesty. In verse 3 we read, "And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias." Peter here, seeing Moses, seeing Elijah, he knew exactly who they were. Now, we're never told that Peter spoke with them. The living don't speak to the dead, the deceased. They've gone on before. Nor do we read about the Lord Jesus Christ introducing Moses and Elijah to Peter, James, and John. But Peter, seeing Moses, seeing Elijah, he knew exactly who they were. Now, I'm pretty sure there were no cameras in Moses' time. I'm pretty sure there were no photographs either. And yet Moses lived 1,500 years before Peter. Elijah lived some 900 years before Peter. How was that Peter knew Moses and Elijah just by seeing them? It was because the Lord, he gave them that knowledge. He gave Peter that knowledge of them. You see, that shows us what the Lord can do and did do. This evening, the wonderful truth is that whenever we die, to go be with the Lord. Yes, we are with the Lord, but also with all those who have also died in the Lord. We will see those whom we read of in Scripture. We will meet Abraham. We will meet Isaac. We will meet Jacob. We will meet Moses. We will meet Elijah. We'll meet Joseph, who trusted the Lord. We'll meet Daniel, who stood firm with the Lord. We'll meet all these mighty men and women of God. We'll meet Ruth and Esther. We'll also meet great men of God and great women of God and even great young people of the Lord down through church history. We'll meet those who helped us and encouraged us in our own Christian walk, but yet have now gone on before. Can you think of someone who encouraged you, but yet now they've deceased and have gone to be with the Lord? Maybe it was a granny, maybe it was a granda. Maybe it was a minister. Maybe it was an elder. Maybe it was just a friend, a neighbor, who came along and encouraged in your Christian walk. One day you'll go home to be with them. J.C. Ryle said that heaven will be no strange place. We'll feel at home. After all, it is our family, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Are you looking forward to going to be with the Lord in heaven? To be with the Lord in his glory and his majesty. To see him in that. But also to see all those whom you've loved in the Lord and known in the Lord here. And even others whom you've read about and never yet known personally. I think it's a wonderful truth. The hymn writer said, "There are loved ones in the glory whose dear forms you often miss. When you close your earthly story, will you join them in the bliss? Will the circle be unbroken? By and by, in a better home awaiting in the sky, in the sky." Let me ask you again, do you want to go to heaven? To be with Christ, yes. But also be with all the redeemed. all those who have died in the Lord. Heaven, what is it like? It is a place that is pure, it is a place that is joyful, it is a place that is sociable, but heaven is a place that is limited. Again, you may find that surprising, but heaven is a place that is limited. Whenever you read the Westminster Confession of Faith, which is based upon the Scriptures, you will read in the larger Catechism, question 82, that there are three stages to glory. Three stages to glory. Whenever a person comes to Christ and puts their trust in Christ, they reach the first stage of glory. They know what it is for Christ to save them, to adopt them into the family and fold of God. To have Christ dwell with them. That's the first stage of glory. But the second stage of glory is whenever they then die to go be with the Lord. And there they see him face to face. And there they're in his immediate presence. But yet their body's still in the grave. You see, that's why there is that third stage of glory. That's why there is that new heaven and that new earth. Whenever Christ comes back again, there will be a resurrection of the saints. Our bodies will be reunited to our souls. And you see, there we'll be able to serve the Lord and love the Lord. Not merely with our souls, but with our bodies, perfectly united people for all eternity. If you turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. In this passage, the Apostle Paul is speaking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, proving that it's true, showing how important and significant that is. But knowing that the resurrection of Christ is true, the Apostle Paul goes on to say that all you who are united to Christ, all us who are saved, who have turned from our sin and trusting in Christ, just as Christ rose again from the dead and had a glorified body, so you and I will rise again from the dead and have a glorified body. But what will that glorified body be like? Well, the Apostle Paul tells in 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 42 on down. He tells about those glorified bodies. He says at the end of verse 42, it is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. Whenever I would visit people in Tyndale, visit the elderly, there's one thing they always tell me. They say, whatever you do, Reverend Foster, don't get old. Just don't get old. You get more aches and you get more pains. And you get more weary. Your body begins to run down. But isn't it wonderful to know that for us who are saved, we will receive glorified bodies? While it is sown in incorruption, it will be raised in incorruption. It will never wear down. It will never get old. It will never wax. It will never wane. It will never get aches or pains. Never get weary. Instead, we will have perfect strength and full strength. We read also in verse 43 that our bodies are thrown in dishonor, they are raised in glory. Whenever you see a person who has departed, their body that grows cold, it grows pale, and it grows hard. And like as we read in the Gospels of Lazarus, his body, well, after 4 days it began to rot and stink. It's not a pretty sight. But while our bodies are thrown in dishonor, we are told they will be raised in glory. Our bodies will be beautiful. Our bodies will be perfect, perfectly formed. There'll be no disabilities. I wonder if there's anyone here this evening who suffers from a disability. Well, while your body is sown in dishonor, it will be raised in glory. It'll be perfect. Disabilities will be gone. On this earth, yes, there are some people who may be more attractive than others. But yet everyone on that new heaven, that new earth, will be perfect. Everyone will be beautiful. More beautiful than any person that there is currently in this earth. Perfect in form. Perfect in beauty. In Matthew's Gospel, which we already read in chapter 17, we read about Jesus Christ, how his face did shine as the sun. The glory of the Lord was seen in his face. And so we who are saved, we're told that we will receive a body like Christ. We'll be changed from our corruptible body, made like unto his beautiful, glorious body. And our own bodies will shine like the sun. Showing forth the majesty and beauty of Christ. Are you looking forward to that day? Are you ready? Are you going to that heaven? Are you going then to the new heaven and new earth as well? There's only one way. Jesus Christ said, repent and believe the gospel. And it's in the perfect, it's in the continuous tense. Repent, continue to repent. Believe, continue to believe the gospel. You may say, well, I made a profession once, but you're not continuing on. You're not continuing to hold on to Christ and rest in him. You're not continuing to strive after holiness, turning from sin, even though you know it in your life. Jesus Christ said, those who are ready for heaven are those who repent. And continue to repent. We'll never be perfect, but continue to repent. You see yourself sitting, turn from it. And turn on to Christ. And rest on him. It's his work. He has paid the debt once and for all. Repent in thankfulness for what he's done. Not to earn anything, in thankfulness. We read that the bodies are not merely sown in corruption, but raised in incorruption. Not merely are they sown in dishonor and raised in glory, but we're told they're sown in weakness and raised in power. You know, we all know what it is to get our finger jammed in a door. We all know what it is to get a cold or a flu. We all know what it is to be injured. What I understand of what is meant in the second part of verse 43 is that whenever our bodies are raised in power, they will never be liable to sickness again. Never be liable to colds or flus, to hay fever, to asthma, to diabetes, to tummy bugs, to any form of disease, to any form of sickness, to any form of illness. They'll never be liable to that. But raised in power. In Revelation 21, verse 4, we read that there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. No more pain, no more injury, no more sickness, no more crying, no more tears. For the former things are passed away. You see, if you give your life to Christ, the wonderful truth is that the best is yet to come for you. Oh, you may have difficulty now, you may have sickness now, you may have disease now, but the best is yet to come whenever it will all be gone. And why the Lord has promised that his strength is sufficient for you now, even in your weakness. Yet one day that weakness will be gone, your body will raise in power. You'll be with the Lord. But yet if you're not saved and you never get saved, the best that you have is right now. Your body may be riddled with sickness and disease. But the best you have is right now. Because while heaven is a place of purity and of beauty, while it's a place without pain and crying and sorrow, yet hell is a place that's full of pain. More pain than you and I could ever imagine. It is that lake of fire which burneth forever. And I plead with you. See what Jesus Christ offers to you in the gospel. Offers to you all based on the merits that he has done on that cross. Shed his precious blood, lived that perfect life, rose again, ever praised for his offers it to us for free. It cost him everything, but he offers it to us for free. If only we'll receive it through faith, that he loved us and died for us. We're also told regarding our bodies that while they're so natural, they will be raised spiritual. It doesn't mean we'll be like a ghost, because a body, it is flesh and blood. It's not a ghost. Jesus Christ said that, behold my hands and my feet, it is I myself, handle me and see, for the spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. But from what I understand, the idea is that we will not be dependent upon anything. In the sense that we, on this earth, we are dependent on food. We need food, otherwise we go hungry. We need water, otherwise we go thirsty. We need shelter, we need sleep. We need air, we need oxygen. We need all these things. And that's why we do suffer hunger and thirst and tiredness. But in heaven, why there will be, in that new heaven, that new earth, why there will be food there. We don't have to take it because we need it. It's because we take it to enjoy it. Our bodies are not the same. We will never be hungry, never be thirsty, never have a craving, never be cold, never be too warm. Perfect. Let me just finish by asking the question, what will people do in heaven? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What will people do in heaven? Let me just mention to you a few things very briefly. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, chapters 4 to 5, that the Apostle John has given a glimpse of heaven. He's given a vision of it. And I want you just to imagine this as we close. Imagine that you got that glimpse like the Apostle John did. And there you are brought into the very throne room of God. And as you focus your eyes upon the front of that room, there you see the great, the magnificent, the splendid, the wonderful throne. And the one who sits upon it you instinctively know to be the Lord. Well, you've never seen him with a visible eye, but there you see him on the throne. You know him to be your Saviour. You read around about that throne as a rainbow with all its beautiful colours. Now you can see the colours bouncing throughout the room as red, yellows, blues and green. Around about that throne, we also read there are 24 elders. They're dressed in white, wearing crowns of pure gold on their heads. We read about four angelic-like creatures, and they sing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We then read about the 24 elders. They begin to sing a new song to the Lamb who was slain. Can you picture that this evening? Sing a song to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who left up the splendor, the beauty, the magnificence of heaven to come down to this dusty old earth. The one who left the praise of angels to come down to be mocked and to be spat upon, to be beaten by men. The Lamb who was slain. The Lamb who then was raised up on a cross to be raised between heaven and earth, between God and men. To the Lamb, do you see it this evening, who took upon himself our sins, our lies, our blasphemies, our times of jealousy, times of selfishness. Every moment we've never loved God with all our heart. Jesus Christ, he takes upon himself our sins. Do you see that this evening? Do you see him taking upon himself your sins? And there he suffered the wrath of his Father on that cross once and for all. And he satisfied and he cried out and said, "It is finished, the debt is paid." Dying and then rising again, he ascended up again into heaven. And there he sits at his Father's right side. And there we read the 24 elders, they begin to sing a song to the Lamb who was slain. And they sing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Read in Revelation 7 that a great multitude which no man could number of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, they stand before the throne, they stand before the Lamb, clothed with robes made white through his blood, and they cry with a loud voice, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thy King of saints." One thing you and I will do in heaven is we will praise the Lord. You know, if you and I, like David, can say, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." If you and I can know the joy that it is to praise God together as his people, to sing his praises. I often think of the Easter Convention, where you have perhaps more than 1,000 people coming together, many of those who love the Lord. And there we sing God's praise together. One heart, one love for him. What a joy it is. But how much greater in heaven. Because it will be better numbers. It's innumerable. People from every tribe, tongue, and nation. Better signs. My voice isn't great. But being purified. Perfect voice to praise the Lord. Better accompaniment. We'll sing with the angels. Better purity. Better knowledge. We'll worship God more so than we ever have in spirit and in truth. Better presence, God's immediate presence, that Shekinah glory. Better vision. We see the Lord not by faith, but by sight. Tell me this evening, do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to go to be with the Lord forever? One last thing is that we will serve the Lord. In Revelation 22, verse 5, regarding that new heaven and the new earth, we read that we will serve the Lord. We will reign with the Lord in verse 5. And Revelation 7, we read that we will serve the Lord. What does it mean to reign with the Lord? What does it mean to serve the Lord? Well, just as the Lord gives you and I responsibilities on this earth, so the Lord will give us your saved responsibilities in that new heaven and earth. You see, we read in the parable, Matthew chapter 25, where three servants, one was given 10 talents, the other given 5 talents. And they were both faithful to the Lord. And the Lord turned around and said, "Thou hast been faithful over these few things. I will make thee ruler over many things." He will give us responsibilities. We can serve, but the wonderful thing is this. While on this earth we will make mistakes and fail, yet on that new heaven and that new earth we will never be sorry for anything. We'll never have to fix anything. We'll never have to adjust anything. We'll never have to find anything, replace anything, struggle for anything. We'll do everything perfectly. Perfectly in love for the Lord who loved us and gave himself for us. I ask you this evening, do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to go to be with the Lord? That place, it is a real place. Don't listen to those like Karl Marx. It is a real place. God's word makes it so very clear. It is a place characterized by the presence of the Lord. To be absent and to be present with the Lord. Do you want to be in that new heaven and that new earth where indwelleth righteousness for all eternity? To serve the Lord. To reign with the Lord. To love the Lord. To love him perfectly with every ounce of your being, your strength, your might, your love, your joy, your heart. If so, Jesus Christ said, "I am the way." Oh, you can't do it yourself. I am the way. Repent. and believe the glorious gospel, the good news that I loved you and I've died for you. Can I ask this evening, are you ready for heaven? If Jesus Christ was to call you tonight, would you be ready? Would you be ready? Oh, the way simple and the way sure. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. May the Lord bless his word to your heart and to mind tonight. Let's just close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I ask that the words of please to take thy word, write it upon our hearts tonight. Father, while man's voice will be silent, Father, may you speak on to the truth of thy word. Oh, Father, may everyone here this evening be ready to be with thee. May we be saved, have our sins forgiven. Oh, Father, may we not end up in hell. Father, instead of heaven and all of its beauty and glory, ending up in hell with all its pain and misery. Oh, Lord, instead of being with the Lord forever in his love and grace and favor, we be in hell with the Lord's wrath and hatred. Oh, Father, I cry. May we all be ready to be with the Lord. Lord, I ask you now, you'd bless us as we part one with the other, with each one that will go to the open air and undertake for that. Glorify thy own name. Give help in the leading. Give help in the singing. Give help in the reading of thy word. Give help in the preaching of it. Glorify Christ, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.